Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, let's dive in. My local gym costs $120 for an entire year. That is $60 per visit. Not a great deal. Are you listening? Okay. I work out religiously about once or twice around the holidays. That one hurt. I had to read that joke like three times. I was like, oh no, I might be a religious gym workouter. My husband is a faithful attendee of the gym. I am definitely not. Fun fact, last week I was talking about how I was trying the 21-day core strength workout challenge on YouTube that I had found. And if you came to camp this week and you saw my face, I had multiple people coming up to me saying with this concerned, gut-wrenching look, are you okay? I kid you not. And by like the third person, I made a public disclaimer announcement in our little prayer huddle saying, I am fine. I'm not angry at anybody. I'm just tired, right? Are there any night owls in the house this morning? Okay, so maybe you've had to say that to someone. You know, I'm not trying to kill you. I'm just tired, right? This is my resting face when I'm tired. Apparently, working out right before you go to bed makes it so you don't sleep well. I read this week, and I promptly stopped my 21-day workout, and I have yet to pick it up again because I do not have the energy in the morning to do it yet. So anyway, if you are doing this workout, we're learning about core strength this month. And last week, my challenge was that we not just think of it spiritually, but we also realize that how we are physically can actually affect all the areas of our life because Jesus didn't just create us to be spirits. He created us physically as well, right? So in our church, we really want to prioritize the spiritual and also the practical, right? It's important both of those get talked about because God cares about both. So I encourage you, don't give up if you're working on some core strength. Keep it up. The first Sunday of this month, we talked about the belt of truth. It's like a lifting belt, right? When we put the truth of God at the center of who we are, He then lifts our burdens, and we can actually walk through life and persevere in ways that we couldn't before. Last Sunday, we talked about two exercises in building core strength, which was how to exchange, right? Does anyone remember exchanging? So we talked about exchanging lies, exchanging sin, and exchanging things that we carry burdens with the truth of God and the blood of Jesus. And the Bible study we did all week was on remembering and the power of remembering. And Thrive at the Park Wednesday night was so powerful because we actually did one of the Bible study questions together as a group, and we got stones like Joshua got them out of the Jordan to remember what God had done, and we wrote our testimony on stones and then shared them at the picnic tables. It was one of my very favorite Thrive nights. All the teens did it together, and so we prepared for our baptism today by thinking about our testimonies in God. So I hope you thought about your testimony in God this week and remembered that. So we can talk about thriving homes, transforming cities, which is our vision, as much as we want, but in order for thriving homes to stay thriving, to be sustainable, we must have core strength. Amen? Otherwise, we're malnourished homes. And if you've ever been in a state of malnourishment, whether it's spiritually or what other way, you can have these peaks, like you think you're winning, but it's unsustainable. And some of us may be going into the school year thinking, man, my life right now isn't sustainable. And God wants to do a new thing in the center of who you are. He wants to build core strength and identity. He wants his truth to be like a belt so that you can actually persevere. Amen? Are you following? So our key verse is Isaiah 40, verse 31. It says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Last week we talked about how that renew can also mean exchange, right? They will mount up with wings like eagles, they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. I was saying that a couple times this week in deep faith as I was exhausted, right? But that word mount up means to go up or to ascend or to climb. And when we read mount up with wings like eagles, I don't know about you, but I kind of picture this majestic painting of like an eagle rising from the dust or whatever, right? But I wanted to look up a couple facts about eagles because they aren't just majestic. They're incredible creatures. So the strongest animal, or this, I guess it's not the strongest animal, it's the strongest bird in the world is the harpy eagle. Can everyone say the harpy eagle? I have no idea why it's called the harpy. Maybe it plays the harp or something. I don't know. But it generates 2,258 joules of energy, which is almost three times the muzzle energy of a .357 Magnum bullet. It can lift up to 40 pounds. And random fact, but the female of this bird is actually the strongest in the world. And it has my wingspan, if you want a visual. Harpy, harpy. I was like, that's easier to say than 6 foot, right? So we're talking some serious strength and some serious lift, not just majestic, but actually quite powerful. Eagles can fly up to 30 miles an hour, and they can dive at speeds of 100 miles per hour. This is a really savvy bird, and they can live 25 to 40 years. So there might be an eagle around here that used to know this property before it was built. How's that for some perspective, right? Bald eagles can lift small deer. They have an 8-foot wingspan. That is not my wingspan. And a golden eagle can lift up to 10 pounds, but I like the golden eagle because that's the eagle that you can find in Israel. So maybe Jesus was actually mentioning, or Isaiah, excuse me, was mentioning the golden eagle, right? And when I looked up the strongest birds, it was this kind of eagle, this kind of eagle, this kind of eagle, this kind of eagle, and then an owl. So it's a lot of eagles. So when this scripture is saying mount up on wings like eagles, there is a core strength that is being referred to here that is literally the strongest in the world in the sky before airplanes, right? Isn't that amazing? Just to get a picture for that. So it's no mistake that that's the kind of bird that's being referred to. Psalm 73:26 says, "My flesh and my heart may fail." And most of us stop right there and build our life story right there, right? My flesh and my heart may fail. In fact, some worship songs or some other songs, I don't want to poke anything here, but they just build all the theology around my heart and my flesh may fail. But we never get to the second part of that song, psalm, but it's a song too, which says, but God, can you just say, but God? Is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That word portion means territory. God is my territory, not failure. So that means that when I'm looking out over my life, I am seeing the strength of God. That's the thread of my testimony, not my failure, right? So think about when you're looking out over your future, over your past, over your present, are you seeing a thread of failure? Are you seeing a thread of God's strength? Because I guarantee Jesus is with you always. Amen? So it kind of shifts your perspective. So today we're talking about two more ways to build core strength, and it is through R&R. And everyone say R&R. This is why we brought our slippers, all right? So the first R is rest. And yes, I was preaching on rest this week, and I kid you not, as I was doing my message prep after day two of summer camp, I could not keep my eyes open. I've never had this happen in my life. I was sitting at my desk, and my eyes were literally shutting as I was drinking coffee and writing about rest. And I was like, I'm not a hypocrite, so God, what are we going to do here, right? So we're all learning this together, but I'm going to go in a way of talking about rest that might not be what you think I'm going to do, okay? So just go with me here for a minute. How many know the enemy isn't intimidated by an exhausted church, right? Our city isn't going to be transformed by exhausted homes, right? The enemy is intimidated by a church that is resting in God's core strength. In fact, that's the biggest intimidation factor that you could have, right? Trusting in God. I always assumed that strength was built at the gym. Anyone think that? That's why you go to the gym. Well, my husband, who wants to write a book, what's the book called? Heaven's, Oh, it's this really complicated word for going to the gym. I don't actually know the word. But anyway, he wants to write an entire book about how to encounter God and working out because he's so passionate about it. But my husband was correcting me. He said, no, you don't build it at the gym. You build it after the gym when you're resting. It's called the repair phase, right? So strength is built in muscle during the repair phase when you are resting and refueling. So this is a quote. Every time you work out, you create microscopic tears in your muscle tissues. Anyone feel like your life has been kind of tearing you apart a little bit? All right. But when you rest, your muscles start to heal and grow back stronger, meaning you'll be able to do the same workout with less effort in the future. Isn't that interesting, right? So this is one of the reasons escapism is so sneaky and destructive, because it's actually a way the enemy kills, steals, and destroys our strength. Because if your rest can be stolen, your strength can be stolen. Right? When we replace rest with escape, we allow our strength to be stolen. So we're going to talk about rest here for a moment. And yes, you could preach a message on physical rest and the importance of that, and some of us need that a little bit this coming week, but we're not going to talk about physical rest today as much as we're going to talk about a different kind of rest. So it says, hold on, let me get my right verse here, Genesis 2:2, and on the seventh day, God finished his work, which he had made, and he rested. Can you say rest? On the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. So rest is part of creation. But how many know God didn't rest because he was tired, right? And I think in our, especially in our culture in America, I won't speak to other cultures, rest can be seen as a reward, right? When I get done with all of this, then I will reward myself with rest. Instead of saying, I'm going to rest so that then I have the strength to do what I need to do. Do you see the difference? One is a reward and the other is a foundation, right? He rested because he was finished, right? It says Isaiah 40:28, God will not grow tired or weary, just to make sure we understand that he did not take that Sabbath day because he was tired or weary. But that word rest means to cease, desist, and of course, rest. Cease, desist, and rest. And that word cease means to bring to an end. So in John 19:30, it says, when Jesus had tasted it, he said, it is finished, right? And that word finished means to bring to an end. So we have this picture at creation, and we have this picture at redemption of it is finished. Isn't that powerful? It is finished. And so the ultimate form of rest is resting in the finished work of God. Some of us are waiting for things in our life to be finished so we can rest. But the ultimate form of rest is saying, I'm going to rest in the finished work of God so that I have the strength to walk through what is unfinished in my life. You following? It's so powerful. Again, it's not a reward, it's a foundation. And yes, there's a physical element to it that we need to prioritize, but I'm talking about the spiritual more, because have you ever gone on a vacation and been in inner turmoil and not gotten any rest? Have you ever tried to take a day off and your mind is going a mile a minute and you technically got a grip, maybe you even posted some photos on Facebook or Insta and you're at the beach and everyone's like, man, I just wish I could be there. And you're sitting there and you're going nuts because you don't have an inner rest. Because rest is a foundation, not just a reward. You following? Core strength is built when we rest in the finished work of Jesus. I love this list. This is from Jack Frost. If you don't know Jack Frost, he's an incredible man. He unfortunately, well, not for him. He's with Jesus now, but he's not on earth anymore. But he has a book called Embracing the Father's Love that changed my life about 10 years ago. It is a phenomenal book. I highly recommend it. It's a testimony of how he went from an orphan heart to a sonship. relationship with Father God. And he had been through every form of hardship that you could imagine. And it's a very real, raw testimony book. I highly recommend it. And he makes this list of an orphan mindset and a sonship mindset, or a daughter mindset of God. And I kind of adjusted it slightly to think of living before the cross versus living in the finished work of the cross. So we're going to just go through this list. One sees God as a master. One sees God as a loving father. One is insecure and lacks peace. The other lives from a foundation of rest and peace. One is striving for praise and approval, and the other is living accepted in God's love. One is motivated by need to impress others, and one is motivated by deep gratitude. One lives with accusation and exposure to make yourself look good. The other seeks to restore and forgive. And lastly, one sees God's presence as conditional and distant, and the other as close and intimate. It's a little heart check. Are you resting in God's love? Because on this side, you're building core strength, and on this side, strength is being stolen. You following? If the enemy can't get us to put all our energy, if the enemy can get us to put all our energy into earning what Jesus already paid the price for, we let him steal our core strength. Some of us are exhausting ourselves trying to pay for what was already paid for. And then all the other things that God's like, hey, I've prepared this good work for you to walk in, you're exhausted because you just spent all your energy trying to earn God as your father when he already is, trying to earn his attention when he already is with you. Isn't that powerful? And the worst part is we can feel very holy about it. In fact, it can be the holiest thing to see someone. You're like, man, look at them. And they're just earning and striving and trying to earn and pay for what's already been paid for. And it looks so holy, but it's really dead religion. And that is why part of our mission at our church is to forget dead religion. It's not to forget religion. We like good and perfect religion that Jesus talks about. But dead religion is trying to earn what Jesus already paid for. It's cycles of vain effort that produce exhaustion and obligation and frustration. And you know when you're in it because it depletes you, right? Church, we cannot afford to waste our energy trying to earn what Jesus paid for. It's actually saying to God, hey, your cross wasn't enough. I can do better. That's what we say. Your cross isn't big enough. I need to be bigger. I need my good works to be bigger. Instead of saying, Jesus, I'm so grateful for what you did, I'm going to respond now with my life. Amen? We cannot build core strength without resting in the finished work of the cross. Remember, Sabbath means to cease and desist. I love this. That just stood out to me so loudly. A cease and desist order is a legally enforceable order from a court or government agency directing someone to stop engaging in a particular activity. Some of us need to put out some cease and desist orders in our life to fear, to striving, to pride, to shame, to condemnation, to destructive cycles, to some of our attitudes and our mindsets. Amen? Some of us need to put out a cease and desist order for engaging in that activity, because the ultimate cease and desist order is from that cross. Amen? And some of us need to own the fact that we're in a repair phase. We're in a repair phase in our life. And some of us have been in a repair phase thinking that we're wasting time when God is saying, I'm building core strength. I'm building core strength. Amen? So my question is, where do you need to receive the finished work of the cross right now? Where do you find yourself bringing accusation or trying to prove yourself or trying to earn favor in God's sight? Think about that, because sometimes it's our whole life, but oftentimes it's a lot more sneaky And it's in just a single area in our life. And in fact, it's behind a closed door, and it's a hidden attitude. It's a hidden motive. And God wants to set you free today to rest from the inside out. He wants to build core strength. Amen? So that's the first R. The second R we're going to breeze right through. It is relaxation. Now, I got to be honest, I had another R word in here that I felt was much more holy than relaxation. And I was like, I can't preach on relaxation. But I looked up the definition, and now I can. Okay, so don't walk out that door. Relaxation means the state of being free from tension and anxiety. That's preachable, right? That sounds biblical right there. Remember, according to one article, without proper recovery, your muscles might not have enough time to repair and grow, which could hinder your progress and lead to muscle imbalances. Have you ever walked into a gym and you can tell who the rowers are and the swimmers are, and you can then tell who maybe the runners are, right? You either have huge upper bodies or maybe larger lower bodies. It's not always perfectly symmetrical. And sometimes it's really funny until you realize, oh, they're clearly just working out one area of their body. They have a muscle imbalance. It's intentional. But some of us have muscle imbalances, which is not intentional because we aren't in relaxation, right? We aren't free from tension and anxiety. Tension happens when we have imbalances in our life. Now, I don't like the word imbalance. I much prefer rhythms and finding rhythms of encountering God. But I'm going to go with the word imbalance here today just because of the context. Because when we have imbalances between our beliefs and our behaviors, or our values and our actions, or our expectation and reality, there causes this tension. Have you ever felt that tension? It's real easy in marriage, right? You get home and you expected your spouse to do this, and they definitely did not, and suddenly you can cut the air. That's called tension, right? Maybe it's with your child or a coworker, whatever season of life you're in, right? And oftentimes we'll waste our whole life trying to find balance in the tension of life. It's career and relationships tension. Anyone there? How about work, rest, and fun tension? That's a fun one. How about rest and purpose tension? How about bank account tension, right? We all are maneuvering through these tensions, but relaxation is the state of being free from tension, right? That word balance means to keep or put something in a steady position so that it does not fall. And I love it because that core strength, when we build core strength from a physical standpoint, it helps you stand tall. It helps you strengthen your posture, right? I immediately felt my posture change after 10 minutes of core strength exercises. It was terribly embarrassing, right? We should all try it. But life isn't meant to be an Olympic sport on the gymnastic beam, right? It's like some of us are maneuvering through life and we're trying to balance and there's all this tension and we're just barely getting by. And then maybe just like this year when there's that slippery spot on the thing, we fall off, right? And life wasn't meant to be that. But here's a fun one. The I don't need to control everything, and the I need to control everything somehow always end up getting married, right? Or working in the same cubicle. Anybody? If we're really honest, and if you didn't do that, that's great. Maybe you can talk to my husband and I, right? But for some reason, we tend to attract each other, maybe because the balance or the healthy point is actually in the middle, right? So let's just finish up here by looking at the life of Jesus, because Jesus lived perfectly in the tension between heaven and earth. I don't even want to imagine how much tension he felt while walking on earth, right? If you really think about it. So Ephesians 2:6, and I am going to get to Jesus. Ephesians 2:6, and God raised us up with, Christ. Okay, let's try that one more time. We're almost done, and God raised us up with, there we go. All right, just checking if we're all here. And seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. This word seated is, I believe, the ultimate picture of R&R, of rest and relaxation. of rest, resting in the finished work of Jesus and the cross, and relaxation, freedom from tension and anxiety. The word seated means to settle down together and describes the convention of a council or a senate. So when Jesus, this picture of being seated with Jesus is actually being seated in a council. It's being seated in a place where we can receive counsel, where there is authority in God. Isn't that an incredible picture? This word is only used one other place in the New Testament in its form, and it is Luke 22:55. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, and that's the high priest's courtyard, and had sat down, that's where it sat, Peter sat with them. Now, was this seated in a high place moment? No, if you don't know the story, what happens next is Peter denies Jesus three times. He was seated in the wrong senate. He was seated in the wrong council. Right? Now it says it was springtime because of Passover. I've been to Israel in the springtime and it is freezing. In fact, I think it was our first trip there and we ended up wrapping ourselves in towels walking on the streets of Jerusalem because it's damp, it's windy, and it's like 50 degrees, which sounds great in the winter, but it's not because it's damp and they don't have the insulation like we do. So when I lived there through February and it was just horrible. So in other words, the environment is not nice, right? Where you sit down for warmth when your environment is tense and challenging can determine your core strength. Are you following? Where you settle when your environment is hostile, when you can't see the finish line, when you're in the middle of the process, can determine your core strength. Are you sitting in the council of the heavenly realms, or are you sitting in the council of the enemy? Have you ever been in the middle of a process in your life, and you go to someone asking for help, but really all you're doing is wanting confirmation on what you've already decided to do? And you might even know it's wrong. So you go to the pastor, or you go to your friend, or you go to your boss, but you're not really listening when they give you advice. You've already decided. Where you sit when you're in an environment that is hostile and tense, when you're in the middle of the process, when you can't see the victory yet, is imperative that you sit in the heavenly realms and not in the council of the enemy. Right? Peter was looking for warmth and took a risk to sit with the very ones involved, directly or indirectly, with the rest of Jesus. Who you are around matters for core strength, right? When his belief was on the line, he sat with the ones that would confirm disappointment, illusion, and deception, not God's promises. Where do you sit? Where do you relax? Where do you rest when you're in the middle of the process? You following? It says in Matthew, this is the same story, but Matthew's version, but Peter followed him at a distance right up to the courtyard of the high priest, and he entered and sat down with the guards to see the end. That's Matthew 26:58. That word end is taken from the same word that Jesus used on the cross to say it is finished. So Peter wanted to see the finish line, but he didn't remember to rest in the finished work of Jesus. Because Jesus had prophesied back in Matthew 17, after they gathered again in Galilee, Jesus told them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of the enemy. He will be killed, but on the third day he will be raised from the dead. And Peter forgot all of that, and he sat in the wrong council. Why don't we stand on our feet as we just close out here? Have you ever thought, oh, it would be so easy for the disciples? They knew how the story ended, right? They knew how the story ended. Jesus told them how the story ended. And some of us in our lives right now are saying, God, I just want to see the finish line. I just want to see how this ends. But my encouragement and my challenge and my charge to you this morning is don't sit in the place where your disappointment and illusion will be confirmed. Sit in the heavenly realms with God. Sit in the place where he can release the tension and the anxiety and rest in the finished work of God, even if the process around you is unfinished. Amen? We know how our story ends. We build strength by keeping eternity in our hearts, right? And it's really easy to live event to event. Have you ever lived that way? Well, if I just get through to this event, it was kind of like summer camp, right? We're like at the end of summer camp, and then at the end of this, and then at the end of that, and we lose sight that God is actually doing something cohesive, sustainable. God is not an event to an event God. He is a sustainable strength. He is a presence that stays and never leaves us. Amen? So my question to you, the second question, the first one was, where do you need to rest in the finished work of God? But this last one is, how can you take a recent event with God in your life and build a prayer habit around it? And build, or maybe some other kind of habit, where you can actually take that event with you. Maybe it's just writing down on it like a rock, just like we did at Thrive Night. Maybe it's taking a scripture and putting it on your mirror. Maybe it's repeating a prayer daily, just for a while, just the truth of God. But don't just live event to event. It's unsustainable. Lean in to the core strength of God through the finished work of Jesus. You can't add from it and you cannot take away. It's finished. Amen. So let's just pray together. This is Ephesians 3:16-19. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, God will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. And Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. And then you will be made complete with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I bless every area in your life right now that sees God only as a master to encounter him as a loving father. I bless every area that is insecure and lacking peace to receive the foundational rest and shalom of Jesus. I bless any area in your life that is striving for praise and approval to receive the love of God. I bless every area in your life that is motivated by need to impress others, to get a spark and a hunger to be thankful and to live with gratitude. And I bless every area that is filled with accusation to receive the forgiveness of God, not just for yourself, but enough for others. And finally, I bless every area in your life that sees God and God's presence with you as conditional and distant to receive the closeness of Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. God, build core strength in us. May we be known for our strength, which we know means in our weakness, God, you be strong. We stop striving and we receive you so we can be lifted up on wings like eagles in our marriages, in our finances, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our homes, at the street, at the gas station, at the grocery store this week. There is no place that you don't want to fill with your presence. Let us be a witness this week in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.